real job. Your real job. I have a question for you first, and that is, has anybody ever fallen asleep on the job? Anybody want to admit that you've fallen asleep on the job? I have too. It was embarrassing. I was preaching at the time, but it happens. We fall asleep. If you are ever caught sleeping on the job, I've got 5 excuses you can do. You know, the boss comes in, your head's on the desk, and, you know, you're startled awake. Here's what you say, one of these 5 things. Just jerk your head up and say, "They told me at the blood bank this might happen." Might be one thing. Number 2, you could say this. "Oh, I wasn't sleeping. I was trying to pick up a contact lens without using my hands." So, or try this. Go, "Whoa, I guess I must have left the lid off the liquid paper." Now, does that make any sense to you, Natalie? Do you know what liquid paper is? No, it's computers. It's all cut and paste. I've got a shelf life on this joke that's probably expired 10 years ago. Not unlike most of my jokes. You can say this. "Why did you interrupt me? I almost solved our company's biggest problem." And then the last one, and I heard a little help over here, it was, you just, because you can do this if you're a Christian, you go, "Amen." That's right. Your job, my job, your real job is feeding sheep. And I struggled with whether or not to make this a heavy teaching time or a little bit of get-to-know-you time. And it's not something I often do. In fact, rarely have I done a little my testimony for churches where I've spoken, but I felt led to do that, maybe so we can all get to know each other. And I would rather that we take a week and everybody share and we get to know one another's stories, because people have some remarkable lives, and what we can share and learn from each other is just incredible. But let me, if you would indulge me, just before we get into the Word, just give you a little bit of my personal story, only because it points to Jesus. That's the only reason we need to share our testimony, is because ultimately we're pointing to Jesus. So here's my story. I had a rough childhood, not as rough as some, a little rougher than others. My parents divorced when I was 5 years old. I have no real memory of my dad, my natural father, prior to that time. So I was hungry for a father figure. I got that father figure from a man named Don. Don, who I called Dad. He met and married my mom, and we all moved in together. And Don was a big, strong Marine. He had a big tattooed bicep, you know, and I would hang on this bicep for what seemed like an eternity. And Don and I played Army on the front lawn. And I must have died 1,000 deaths. But Don died only once. The big tough Marine shot himself dead on our front porch. I was 8 years old at the time, and I heard the shot, and I found some of what was left. Well, I could go into, you know, all the trials and tribulations since then, and there were some definite good times and bad times and all of that, you know, growing up and wandering around these hills and Torrance and Gardena. And let me just fast forward to when I came to Christ, because that's a good part. I was 20 years old, the youngest person hired for the job as a flight attendant for a major international airline. It just happened that I was able to start training on my birthday, and so being that I was impressionable, I fell in with the wrong crowd. Didn't take me long, and I was flying on my days off, surrounding myself with so-called glamorous people, getting drunk, partying, and I came in for a rough landing one day. In one short week, I lost my girlfriend, my apartment, my job. Even my best friend, who I grew up with, finally said, "Enough." Fortunately, I was at the end of me at that time, and I said, I can only do one thing that I know of to do. I'd tripped around some churches from time to time. I'd heard the message on the radio, I guess. Somehow I had the good sense, or it was just the Holy Spirit completely directing me. But I wandered out onto the beach at midnight in Redondo Beach and looked out over the horizon and said, "Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for this mess I've made of my life." would you come into my heart? And if you come into my heart, I will turn my life around. I need your help. And you know what happened? He came into my heart, and he changed me. I felt enveloped with peace. Oh, what joy flooded my soul. I went home and slept the best night's sleep that I can remember sleeping really ever that night. So, because I was Christian, I began to live a perfect life from then on in, right? Is that how it works? 21 to 61, all perfect, because I was a Christian. No, I still had some bad habits. Actually, most of them fell off of me. Really, they just dropped off real fast. But there was one problem in that first year being a Christian that I still was struggling with, and that was I was a womanizer. I was still acting like I, you know, was a secular man, a man of the world, and not a man of Christ. And I realized that it was wrong. I dated this girl. I'd met her, actually, in a bar, if you call that a date. And I came home from that encounter, and I got on my knees, and I said, Lord Jesus, if you help me find a good Christian woman, then I will live for you, and I'll be faithful to her. Would you do that for me? You see, a year of being a Christian, I didn't realize I could pray for anything personally. I didn't realize that that was part of the deal, as if salvation's not personal. Being saved for heavenly glory is pretty personal. But yet, I didn't know that I could pray and ask for things for myself. Well, I kind of forgot about things, forgot about that prayer. About 1 week later, I just happened to go back and work this Christian retreat. Now, I had been to that same retreat shortly after I had become a Christian, and I'd been there attending. And there was this woman there, this young lady named Lisa, who just had the joy of the Lord on her face. And I said to myself, Quint, when you get that act of yours together, you ought to marry a girl like her. And didn't think too much about it. Attended the retreat, had a good time, and left. A year later, 1 week after I prayed that prayer, I go back to this retreat center to work the retreat. And who should be there? Lisa was there. And I don't know about love at first sight, but I do know about love at second sight. Because I said, Lord, that's the one. There she is. That's the girl I'm supposed to marry. Now, it might be good at this point for you to counsel any young man. Is it Nathan? Is that right? Don't do this, okay? This is not the way to go. But I was so convinced that God wanted me to marry this girl that I told her after the second date, guess what, honey? God's got plans for you and me. We're going to be married. So that kind of scared her off for a while. But I didn't care because I knew that was God's will, that we were going to get married. And we did. We've been happily married now for 37 years. So she couldn't be here today. She's got a cold. She's a substitute teacher. And whenever she teaches the very young one, she catches something. And I never do. Hallelujah. Now I probably will because I'm bragging. But anyway, so we got married and happily ever after. Because we're both Christians. So Christians don't have problems, right? That's how it goes. We've had some problems, some ups and downs, some troubles. You get a few years, and you know loss. You know, of course, I've lost grandparents and aunts and uncles, and both of my parents are gone, and lost a couple of sisters, even though I'm the youngest. But the toughest loss of all was losing a baby girl. She was 3 weeks old, a little girl. We had 8 hours notice. She was 3 weeks and healthy. And then we saw that she was very sick and rushed her over to Little Company of Mary right over here and then gone. Now, I mention this because I want to impress on you that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I would not be here today without that pain. Lisa and I have 2 natural children and we adopted 2 more, so we've got 4 girls, not much production because we're not grandparents yet, but That is threatened to change because on June 21st we have a grandbaby that we're expecting. So let's get this party started. One of the things that came out of this tragedy was I started seeking God more. And I had left a job at, by then, FedEx, and then later DHL. And I was asking God, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? And I was running my own business at that time, running it into the ground. And I was wondering, why did I have this feeling of dissatisfaction? Because the business, after being run into the ground, actually turned around. And now I was starting to make money. And I was like, what's going on? So I insisted that I would stay put for 3 days if I had to until God gave me an answer. What would you have me do? So I didn't need 3 days. It was just 5 minutes. And I heard the still, small voice